You're tuned in to the HR Bandit podcast, your one-way ticket to the latest and craziest in the world of work. In partnership with Timber Media, Podcaster for India Inc. is sponsored by Adrenaline eSystems Limited.
Hey, welcome to HR Bandit, the podcast where we cover the top news from the world of work every single month. This is your host, Apoorva.
And this is Ankita. Apoorva, I don't know if it's just me, but August felt like a really quiet month. And this is a stark departure from the months that we've seen before. There wasn't a lot happening in August, was there?
In the world of work, I agree. But there was so much happening in my life that I am so glad August is over. But you are right. It took us a bit of a struggle to identify stories to cover in the podcast for this month. But I think towards the end, we did get quite a few things. Before we get to that, Ankita, LinkedIn says that you have a new certification. Can you share more about it?
So glad you asked. Well, you have been asking me to get savvy with Gen AI for a while now. So while the world of work was quiet, I went ahead and got myself the AWS AI Practitioner certification. It was a lot of fun studying for that one, so much so that I may have just signed up for yet another exam later this year. What about you? Did you get up to anything exciting in August?
Not this exciting, but one thing I wondered through the month after attending an offsite is that I think I need to brush up my tech knowledge, given I've been supporting tech teams as a HR business partner for a really long while now. So I ordered and started reading this book called Code, which goes into the details of inner workings of computers and other smart machines. Now my target is to complete it before this year ends, and I would be happy to share more about it in one of our pods. Apart from all that, August, like I said, was one hectic month for me with my daughter starting daycare and a really busy time at work. And I feel like a new person as I enter September.
Yes, it is the start of the burr months, which are apparently a ripe time for transformation. So anyway, we'll keep chatting about our transformation journey, but let's jump into the top three news for the month. First up, we are decoding why the current era is being called the hard tech era in Silicon Valley-based tech firms. Second, Microsoft fired employees protesting against its ties to Israel. And for our last and final news, another tech firm makes it into our list for boasting about firing 35% of its managers. Apoorva, I don't know about you, but I'm really waiting for organizations to make news for doing something radically beneficial for their employees versus what's making the news these days.
I agree. I mean, today's topics are a bit grim with the theme of employees losing their jobs. And we will talk about this theme that you just spoke about in one of the topics. With that, let me take us to our first one. If we are to believe the New York Times, the so-called hard tech era has officially taken hold. According to an article on August 6th, Silicon Valley is no longer defined by app-building startups, kombucha taps, or free sushi bars, but by an intense arms race for AI dominance. The scarce resource isn't talent for quirky consumer apps anymore, but it's more compute power, NVIDIA GPUs, and the engineers who can actually harness them to build massive machine learning models. The old reputation of tech as progressive and employee-friendly has all but evaporated. Instead, companies are running leaner, cutting perks, pushing performance pressure, and favoring speed and technical depth over employee experience. To me, this feels like the culmination of something we on HR Bandit predicted. And I don't know, I'm losing track of years. I think it was back in 2024 where we spoke about an employee experience recession, which is coming to life in 2025. At that time, I had argued that after years of perks and well-being talk, the pendulum is swinging back towards efficiency, productivity, and a bit of a bare-bones work culture. And here we are, the hard tech era has made that prediction a reality. Any reactions, Ankita?
Well, I have one reaction which may not be very popular for those who are big tech fans and in the industry. I do think what we are seeing and what is being called as the hard tech era is a stark departure from the top days of tech companies when they did everything they could to stand out and be the cool place to be. However, now the message is clear. The chips are down and it's all boiling down to a singular AI race. And a part of me thinks that give it a decade and tech wouldn't be this big, shiny, coolest new place Well, not place, but coolest place to be. I think the tide is shifting. If you look at the trending jobs, what our newest generation is choosing, there are like trends where they're going back to mom and pop stores, buying laundromats from generations that are now selling them. And I read somewhere that even blue collar work is becoming cool again. So I do think a lot of other industries will now be cool. It won't just be tech. And I think it's a good evening out. So a future workplace may decide to pick up skills that would take them to some other industries. And yes, AI would be a part of all jobs, but there will be a lot of other jobs that will be cool again. As I was listening to this interview by the Duolingo CEO, and he says that the days of the math nerds ruling the world is over.
You know, Ankita, now that you put it that way, I kind of like this trend where it is making other industries cooler. And probably this also goes back to, there was this report by Microsoft recently where they listed which are the top, I don't know, 50 something jobs that will be least affected by AI. And most of those were like those hardcore, what do we call them, like manual labor kind of work. So we are probably going, so to your point, probably those kind of jobs and those kind of boring businesses are going to become cooler. And let's hold on to that thought for another 5 years and then come back to this pod. Now, going back to the shift in the tech world, from an HR perspective, I feel there are two things that stand out for me. Firstly, where in an environment where there's so much pressure, I think transparency becomes our most powerful tool. That's one of the least things that we can offer to our employees. Like, they need to know what the expectations are, how performance is being measured, where they stand. And if we give them that clarity, burnout and anxiety should be able to, like, we should be able to address that. Second is equity and access. Like, the cost of participating in this new economy with expensive infra, elite credentials, and really rare technical skills are shutting doors for many from disadvantaged backgrounds. So if companies don't intervene, this, whatever we call it, the hard tech era, risks deepening exclusivity and narrowing innovation. HR has to lead in creating alternative pathways, like investing in reskilling, diversifying hiring pipelines, and widening access to internships. Otherwise, we'll end up in companies that are technically strong but socially brittle.
I love that term. Did you pick the terms technically strong, socially brittle from somewhere?
To be honest, I posted the idea in ChatGPT and it threw that term. I wish that wasn't the case, but
I think it's really cool. Maybe we should put it somewhere in the episode description and then like make a thing out of it. I agree wholeheartedly with the equity and access piece. I think there are a lot of things companies can do to move away from being hard tech. But I'm only partially optimistic at this point. Okay, and speaking of tech firms doing strange things, Microsoft made news for firing 4 employees who protested the firm's ties to Israel as it wages war in Gaza, including 2 who took part in a sit-in this week at the office of the company's president. For Microsoft, the recent on-site demonstrations had created significant safety concerns, although they haven't really said what the safety concerns were. And this led to the termination of everyone involved. Now, this isn't new. We covered a similar story in 2024 where Google did something similar when employees protested its Israeli contract. The message is loud and clear. If you protest a company's deals and contracts, you get fired. Apurva, what's your take?
So there's a couple of things that this signifies, right? One is, of course, the shift in the political climate. So I'm not surprised. While it makes me sad, I'm not surprised to see these changes. We are at a situation where anything, if CEOs or like big leaders take any step that's wrong on the political front, they get called out or their company gets impacted by canceling of government contracts and stuff like that. So I'm not surprised on that front. However, what saddens me is that with things like these, we are no longer encouraging employees to bring their whole selves to work, especially in an environment where we expect people to not chip in the typical 40-hour work weeks, but work seeping into their personal lives. The kind of messaging we are giving to folks is, it's okay if your work seeps into personal life, but your personal opinion shouldn't seep into the workplace.
Yeah, I'm going to date the podcast a little bit, but in 2021, Basecamp became, made the news for doing something similar, where they circulated an internal memo where they said they're almost banning political discussions at work. And I remember Jason Friedman had to come back and apologized for having said that, but still defended his stance. And at that point of time, because it was so unique, it made big news. And now we're seeing it become more and more commonplace to be like, hey, you can no longer have an opinion or protest against things that you would have earlier. It does feel like the world is taking like 30 steps back into an era of authoritarian rule, both governments and companies. So I'm not surprised to see Microsoft, Google, and other organizations get increasingly wary of what their employees say and do. I think there is a lot of external worldly pressure also on them, but I genuinely wish that they didn't resort to like terminating employees every time they protested, no matter how unwarranted it might seem to the organization.
Yeah, and I feel like on this one, I wonder if we should again like go back to the transparency bit that I was mentioning in the previous topic, where if leaders can be transparent about why they are doing this, like don't mince their words or don't try to rationalize these decisions. Like these is driven by change in the political climate, and just say that head on instead of saying, this is what we want our employees to do because we believe it's the right thing to do. And I think that's what irks people a lot more.
I wish we were as radically honest as that. I think we still have to veil it under projecting the company as being the, you know, doing good for the world. But take us to a third topic.
Yes, I think that's the right segue. So last one is related to managers being trimmed in the workforce. Organizations across the world are undergoing a dramatic overhaul in the way teams are managed. Companies are stripping out layers of middle management to become leaner and more agile. According to data from Gartner, the average manager today oversees approximately 15 employees, triple the span compared to 2017's ratio of 5:1. Organizations like Google, Intel, Estee Lauder, and Match Group have already slashed management roles, some reducing numbers by up to 35% or cutting 50% of management layers. Now, what are the results? So even though organizations hope for speed and innovation, surviving managers are stretched thin, often too overloaded to mentor or coach employees effectively. Employees now need to proactively signal their contributions to get noticed. And while some companies such as the Bayer Group are exploring autonomous structures supported by AI, many, including managers, are facing exhaustion and burnout. As one of the CHROs in an article recently warns, the lack of development support is a pretty big recipe for disaster. What's your take, Ankita?
It is fascinating on how much we expect Gen AI to solve for things, especially in like enabling the workforce and taking on managerial tasks. And it has become a joke, right? Recently, I heard someone say that employees are being fired left, right, and center before the benefits of Gen AI are materializing. And it's a similar story with managers' fans. Like 15 is overloading managers. There's absolutely no question about that. And you have to be fooling yourself if you believe otherwise. Now, I know there are organizations who have experimented with self-guiding teams and, you know, no managers and so on. But almost in like the, when you dive deeper, there is someone who assumes the role of a proxy manager. And I think there is a job to be played for a manager. And yet when it comes to choosing between an IC and a manager, everyone chooses to keep an individual contributor. We've said this on our previous episode, where there's never been a worse time to be a manager than now. But like, if I was to force a light of optimism, I would say, look, we are going in with the spirit of experimentation. We may end up burning some people on some things down when we are experimenting. And I do hope that we find learnings from this devious experiment that we are doing. So hopefully, like, this is one of them where we move quickly, we cut 35 to 50% of the managerial layer. And then when things start falling apart, we say, okay, this didn't work, let's do this differently.
Yeah, probably. But in the short term, I feel like what we as HR folks can do, one is there's a huge part of the managerial workload is career guidance, helping employees navigate what do they want to do next, and things like those. So can we build, and there are organizations that have done very well on formal mentorship programs, so maybe there is a need to double down on those. Can we involve more ICs, individual contributors, formally there to help other junior employees by mentoring them? The other thing is equipping managers to handle such large workloads? What are some efficient strategies they can use? What are some good to have things they were doing that they should probably not be doing anymore? And last, and I'm keeping AI away from it because I feel like we still are a long way to go before we start realizing benefits of AI in manager spans. But that's just my personal take. But lastly, I also feel in the spirit of experimentation, maybe this forces some organizations or us to go back to start experimenting with self-managed teams.
Yeah, I think what we should do is like divide the role of a manager into parts, right? Like, so there is obviously task management and the traditional things, which you could say can be done by the team, right? Like if they're very well managed via, you can use the agile practices and they don't have a manager, they can have an individual contributor who's like a program manager or a project manager or something like that, who does that. Then there is the career and development of the team, right? And that I think we play a role in helping everyone being a player coach where they take that role on. And then there's a third bucket which we can couple. And then, so I think we have to do that and segregate it. And I haven't seen any organization do that smartly, or they've done it and they've not shared it publicly. But I think right now, this just seems a crazy race without the answers we need.
Yeah, and maybe that's an assignment for us, Ankita. Let's do some research and see if any organization has done that. And Bandits, if you know of any, or if you work at a company that's doing this, do let us know in comments.
Brilliant. Okay. That brings us to the end of our big three stories for August. But before we wrap, you know the drill. Here are three other workplace stories that caught our eye this month. First, there's a fascinating piece about a tiny Himalayan village in India that has declared itself the country's first official hub for digital nomads. Imagine working on your laptop with snow-covered peaks in the background and a village economy adapting itself entirely around remote workers. It's quirky, but it's also a reminder that the geography of work continues to shift in unexpected ways. Second, Meta has frozen AI hiring. And if you think about it, it is huge, given that every tech company is in an AI arms race. Meta pausing its hiring feels like a strange signal, but maybe reality is starting to check ambition. And then finally, Myntra in India. Now, while Silicon Valley is stripping out perks in the so-called hard tech era, Myntra's CEO says that they're doubling down on them. From pickleball courts to nap pods, they are leaning into a culture of play. It is a stark contrast. Two parallel realities of work coexisting globally right now.
Which kind of sums up August, doesn't it, Ankita? Like on one side, we have layoffs, firings, and the rise of the hard tech pressure cooker situation. And on the other, a village becoming a digital nomad haven. And Myntra betting that fun still matters at work. So the future of work is nothing if not contradictory.
I agree. And on that note, I'm going to get us out of here. This is Season 3, Episode 8 of HR Bandit. We've done a lot of seasons, so don't forget to follow us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your podcasts, and share the episode with a friend who's navigating their own hard tech workplace reality. Also, watch out for a lot of exciting news before we wrap up the year. Now, we have big plans, and we hope to bring them to reality. Apurva, I may or may not have shared some of them with you.
Anyway, we will see you on the other side of the Burr months, Bandits. Until then, stay curious, stay kind. With that, this is Apurva, and on behalf of NHRD, we are out.
You're tuned in to the HR Bandit podcast, your one-way ticket to the latest and craziest in the world of work. In partnership with Timber Media, Podcaster for India, Inc. is sponsored by Adrenaline eSystems Limited.